And good morning, everybody.
Hopefully.
You know what? It's Friday. So it's got to be a good morning, right? It has got to be a good morning because it is Friday. And I'm glad that you chose to join me on this Friday morning. Thank you so much for being with us every day. Those of you that are getting up early, hanging out with me and not making me get up by myself. I appreciate that. It makes me feel a lot better. But I hope your day is going well so far, and I hope you have a great day planned for yourself. Maybe you've got big plans for the weekend and you got some things to get done for today. And I don't want to take up a lot of your time, so we're going to get started this morning. I do want to say that we are thankful to be a part of this coming Sunday. And this coming Sunday, we are looking forward to having with us Jake Reed. He is going to be joining us in service. He is the director of the Adams County Right to Life movement. And we want to join our voices with his and just let our voice be heard in our community so that we are joining our voice in the fight of the right to life and the sanctity of human life. And so this Sunday, January the 19th, is National Sanctity of Life Day, and we are going to celebrate life, and we are going to celebrate the miracle of human life, and we are joining our voice with this movement in our community, and we want you to be a part of it. So we want you to join with us this coming Sunday, and we're going to have a great time. We're going to spend some time in worship, and then Jake is going to share with us the burden and the mission of Adams County Right to Life, and then we're going to spend some time encouraging the families and spending some time in prayer over the families. And so we are excited about that this coming Sunday. We're thankful. Thanks, guys. I see everybody jumping on. A couple of you from Mountain Home. I see Barbara Kay there and Brent. Glad y'all joined in. Sister Jackson, glad y'all made it home last night. I know the deer have been out and about, and y'all have a little bit of a trek to get to and from church. So that's not lost on me this morning. So I'm glad to see that y'all made it home and everything is well. We're going to get started today, and I got up this morning and spent a little extra time trying to get my mind ready for today and also getting my wife sent off to work. And so she was up and going and had to get out of here before I even got on the air this morning. But I was doing some reflecting, and I came across a statement that I'd really just kind of fallen in love with a few years ago and kind of had forgotten about it, honestly. And it was a George Bernard Shaw statement says that the problem with communication is the illusion that it has taken place. The problem with communication is the illusion that it's taken place. A lot of times we think that we have communicated our feelings. We think that we have communicated our thoughts. We think that we have communicated what we need to say. But really, all we've done is we've thought that through. There have been a lot of times that in 24 years of marriage, 23 years of marriage, and to my wife, that she would say, "You didn't tell me that." I'd be like, "Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I know that I told you that. You did not tell me that, babe. I could have swore that I told you that they were coming over tonight," or whatever it was, right? I knew that I had told you that they were coming. I knew that they were on their way. No, you didn't tell me. I thought that I had communicated, but I didn't. And a lot of times it is in similar fashion that we think that we have communicated, yet we never have. We didn't really communicate at all. We thought we communicated. And I got to thinking about that in correlation to this morning's devotion. How much of our prayer life have we just simply thought and never really spoken? How many prayers have we, and don't get me wrong, I know God, the Bible says that the Lord knows the intent of the heart. But by definition, prayer is a spoken request. It is a spoken petition. It is something that we are expressing. And so prayer, much like communication, must be spoken. We cannot live under the illusion that just because we thought it means that we actually made our petition. I could think a lot of things, but I want my prayer to be heard. So in order for my prayer to be heard, it would stand to reason then that I would have to speak it. So I want to spend this morning with you just kind of trying to unpack the value of the spoken prayer. The value of the spoken prayer. And the encouraging part of this is that today we can say without a doubt that when we pray those prayers, that the Bible tells us that his prayer or his ear is tuned to the prayers that are made in this place. And we're going to get to this place maybe here in a little bit. I don't know. We're going to see. We're going to see. But I want you to look with me in the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter. I want you to look with me there. Daniel writing in the 10th chapter, he says, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. From the first day that you set your heart to understand, there's some components here, to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard from the first day. Would you just maybe say out loud with me this morning, I'm glad my prayers are heard. But I'm just going to be honest. I would love to hear God say to me, you know, at the end of every prayer, you know, that I'm praying, I'm seeking God. I'm like, okay, God, you know, we really need a miracle here. I would love to pray that prayer. And as I finish the prayer, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We need you today. Minister healing. We've been praying for a young boy, a young kid, Miss Mary, that was our neighbor down when we lived on Mary Lane. Her grandson is battling cancer, and it is a fight for his life. And we were praying last night. I would really love at the end of that prayer, God, I love you. I'm asking you to minister to Miss Mary's family, to Logan, minister healing to him in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, right? I would love to hear at the end of that prayer, just everybody kind of just pause and hear the voice from heaven say, your prayer was heard. I would love that acknowledgement. That would be great. Kind of like the notification that you get on your phone when you have mailed a package and it has arrived and it says your shipment has been delivered. I would like that in my prayer life. That would be really, really nice. But Daniel in scripture, he did hear that. He heard those words that your prayers were heard. Daniel was probably roughly 15 to 16 years old. And this is an interesting fact that I think we would all be wise to recognize, to look at and apply and realize the correlation and the connection between us and Daniel's life here. Probably 15 to 16 years of age, when Daniel and his three friends, we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but that's really not their names. But when they were taken captive, they were carried captive into Babylon. As they're carried captive into Babylon, Daniel serves under two Babylonian kings, under both Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. Okay, so there's two Babylonian kings, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, or Belshazzar. And then there were two, following that, there were the two Medo-Persian kings that he served under, both Cyrus and Darius. And by the time his story ends and the book of Daniel closes, he is probably somewhere close to the age of 90. So let's just put that into perspective. My grandpa was 92 when he passed away. And so by the time Daniel's story ends, was roughly the age of my grandpa. But when it began, he hadn't even gotten his, he might have gotten his learner's permit, to put it in today's age bracketing. He starts out as a young man. He serves through Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, or Cyrus and Darius, in that order. He's praying, he's seeking God on a regular basis. And we don't find the voice of God coming to him until the 10th chapter. It's in the 10th chapter, and I looked this morning, I tried to find, and I, matter of fact, I ran out of time and didn't get to finish my search. I was curious, and if somebody wants to Google it, look it up, drop it in the comments. I'm curious if there's a way to figure out, if we can find out how old Daniel was when he wrote the, when this 10th chapter takes place. I would be curious to find that out, because apparently scripture is not written like we read it in chapter 1 and then we get to chapter 10 and we're like, oh, that was about 20 minutes ago. It's kind of like David. Right. We look at the life of David and we see that he was anointed king when he was, you know, roughly, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood. But he was probably a middle-aged man by the time some historians have theorized that he was, you know, a middle-aged man by the time he was actually on the throne. But we read it in chapters. We read it in segments and we think, oh, this is day 2 of my reading plan. So, you know, day 10 of my reading plan, this is what it says. It's not so much that way. We're reading it in chapters. They lived it in hours. There's a little bit of a correlation there for you and I. Sometimes the storms of our lives don't just come and go. Sometimes the storm is called my life. Let's just be honest about that. Sometimes it feels like our entire life is nothing but a series of setbacks and storms. And it feels like that there is not a day that goes by that I'm not in some kind of a struggle, that I don't have some kind of a fight. But somewhere along the way, I feel that there is this, there's this hope that I've got a Daniel 10 moment coming. And that moment is coming when I hear the voice of heaven say, from the first day that you turned your heart toward me and you humbled yourself before me, I heard your prayer. I know you've been fighting a long time, but I want you to know that I've heard your prayer. I think it would do some of us good this morning for us to realize that I know we've been fighting a long time. I know we've been struggling against this thing a long time. But be encouraged, friend, because today you can trust that from the moment you started praying, he heard your prayer. And so Daniel writes, or we hear Daniel being told in the 12th verse, he says, from the first day that you set yourself to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. For now, this one chapter, we look at, if you look at Daniel, his prayer life is vibrant. His prayer life is absolutely inspiring. Let's just face the facts. If your prayer life is half, has half the commitment that Daniel's prayer life had, you've got a pretty good prayer life going on. If just your prayer life was just half of the prayer life, a third of the prayer life, an eighth of the prayer life, maybe even a 16th, let's just drop it, 1/32nd. Let's drop it way down there. Because Daniel, I don't know that any of us would pray as much as Daniel did in a strange land. In a strange land, in a strange season, surrounded by idolatry, surrounded by slavery, surrounded by perversions, surrounded by all sorts of ungodly places, people, places, and things. And Daniel somehow carves out an effective prayer life. A prayer life that's strong enough to cause the lion to not be hungry. Right? But despite all of the difficulties, despite the two Babylonian kings and the two Medo-Persian kings and the 70 to 80 plus years of captivity, his prayers, his visions, his interpretations, and heavenly encounters over and over and over again are the one thing. I want you to watch this. Those are the things. His connection to the Almighty, his connection to Yahweh, his connection to the Lord, Elohim, his connection to heaven was the thing that gave him favor among the heathen. I want somebody to hear this morning. Your connection to heaven is the way that favor here on earth is found. Because of his connection, when the king would have a vision, when the king would have a dream, it was Daniel that they called and said, "Daniel, tell us what this dream doth mean." Because of his connection to the eternity, to the eternal, because of his connection to the Lord, because of your connection, there are people that are drawn to you. But if you haven't made that a priority, if you haven't made your relationship with God a priority, then there, it shouldn't be, I don't even want to say it that way, it shouldn't be a shock when no one calls you to ask you to pray. I need to hide behind something. But it's when you have made your relationship with God a priority that they start saying things like, "There's something different about you. I think I need to talk to you." And they just begin to, my wife will probably throw something at me. Thankfully, she's not here. She may throw it later when she watches this. She told me a while back, she said, "Is there a sign on my forehead?" And I didn't say anything. That just says, "Tell me all your problems." She said, "Everywhere I go, it seems like every season of my life, I get, and there are people that just unload their trash, their drama, their deepest, darkest. I don't have a clue. I'm depending on, you know," when she was going through her class and when she was still in school and she was doing, you know, going through clinicals and all of the process that she just went through over the past, you know, 4 years, there were people that were absolute, complete and total strangers that would say, "Hey, can I just have something that I need you to help me." When you have carved out, and I'm saying this because I can, she's my wife, and I am proud to call her my wife. When you have carved out a relationship with God, Daniel, the people around you, whether they know it or not, realize that you have something that they need. And so therefore they are compelled, because there is this inherent drawing in the creation to get back to its creator. And when it sees someone that has that connection, that's where that mind, that's where that human body, that human spirit begins to take those needs, because it's trying to figure out a way how to get their problems here on earth to the one that can hear them there in heaven. And the one, Daniel, that is connected, they will come to them. So don't think it's strange when people start calling you, when people are asking you to pray, and when people are saying, hey, you know, I'm just, and they share their problems with you. You know why that is? Because there is a connection between Daniel and the heavens, between you and your God, between you and heaven. And they are trying, it's the Nebuchadnezzar, it's the Belshazzar, it's the Cyrus and the Darius. It's those, and I hate to say it like this because I don't mean, I'm not calling, but it's the heathen that realize that Daniel has a connection to the heavens. And so we find these accounts in the first chapter, the second chapter, and the ninth and the 10th chapter. And here in the 10th chapter, we finally hear that the Lord says, Daniel has been earnestly seeking God. I find this interesting. You know how long he had been praying at this point? He'd been praying for 21 days at this point. When we read the 12th verse, at that point, Daniel had been praying for 21 days. And finally, heaven responds, and heaven's response is, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. Before the first day, from the first day, God heard Daniel from the moment that he decided to seek his assistance. The moment God heard from Daniel, an answer was sent via an angel from heaven, a messenger from straight from the throne room. But this just gets better. Watch this. Hell fought the messenger and kept the answer from getting to Daniel. Meanwhile, what does Daniel do? Daniel keeps praying. If you prayed a prayer and it did not get answered, would you do yourself and everyone else a favor and be like Daniel and pray that prayer again? Daniel kept praying. The angel gets help from Michael, the captain of the Lord's angel armies, and he broke through the barrier. And the angel told him, he said, I would have been here sooner, but the strong man withstood me. What is not stated, but what we must ponder, had Daniel stopped praying, would the answer ever have arrived? Or did his prayers permit the angel to keep fighting until he broke through with the message? Daniel kept praying until the answer came. The response was delayed, but Daniel kept praying. We once called the prevailing prayer, we once called this a prevailing prayer, maybe an incessant prayer. One that does not stop, and one, even when the answer doesn't come, we still continue to pray. We pray that prayer again. Daniel's prayer habit had long since been established, and when everything was going against him, he continued to do what he had established in his life. He continued to participate in the pattern that he had already established. Ladies and gentlemen, I would submit to you this morning that the reason, part of the reasons that a lot of us don't know and we don't pray when we should, and we pray when our prayer life is just kind of sporadic and we're not exactly, and we get to those moments and we're like, oh, I guess I need to pray about this. The reason that is because we haven't established a pattern of praying. Because, again, prayer is a paradox. I've said that a lot throughout this this series, that prayer is a paradox in the fact that it's easy to pray when life is hard, but it's hard to pray when life is good. If Daniel didn't have the hardships, would he have been praying? But Daniel had established a prayer life long before the hardships began. He had already purposed in his heart that he was going to seek the face of God on a regular basis. It was ingrained in him. He survived and thrived under pressure in a strange land at a high level of responsibility and in constant threat of his life. And he survived because of his faith in God. So this morning, I submit to you, you can survive under the pressure of a strange land called life, at a high level of responsibility and under constant threat of hell's attack. You can survive if your faith in God and your personal prayer life has been established and you have humbled yourself before God and set your face to understand Him. That's why the writer of Proverbs would say, "In all of thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." But I think this morning the key element of Daniel's plight is found in the ability for him to make prayer in this place. In the book of 2 Chronicles, we read that very familiar passage of scripture that says that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sins, and then will I heal their land. We read that verse of scripture often, and we understand that it's written in the context of Solomon's temple. We understand that. But I think that there's a correlation for you and I, because if you continue reading, there's a connection between the writing of Chronicles and Daniel's life and our life. And I want to make that as we conclude this morning. If you continue to read that passage in Chronicles, it goes down a couple of verses after that, the 14th verse. It says, "And my ear is tuned to the prayer that is made in this place." And while we know that that is, again, written in context of Solomon's temple, I don't think that it's so much a geographical location anymore. It doesn't apply geographically to you and I, because we're not able to go to that place. So it's not a geographical place, but rather it's found at the very first line of that 14th verse. "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves." If my people will humble themselves. Prayer that is heard. If I want to hear your prayer is heard, it starts with a humble spirit. How do we know that? "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves." How do we know that? From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your prayer was heard. So this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I submit that if I want my prayers to be heard, then I have got to pray them with a spirit of humility. I am not praying them with a spirit with a haughty and a high mind. I am not praying them with a spirit of superiority, but I am praying them from a place of humility. And I'm seeking the face of God with great humility. And I'm asking God to have his way. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If I am going to have God say, your prayer has been heard. It's going to be because I have prayed in this place. And this place, ladies and gentlemen, is a place of humility. I hope and pray that we can understand that this morning. And I hope and pray that some way, somehow, we develop a level of humility in our prayer life that will do nothing but simply advance our prayers into the heavens and cause heaven's army to come down and be by our side. I want to pray with you today. We've done it every day. I'm going to do it again today. I want to pray with you this morning, and I want to ask God to help us. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, right? No, we're not going to sing that song. But I want us to pray that God would help us to maintain a humble and contrite spirit so that as we pray, our prayers are heard in the heavens, and we can be as Daniel and know that we have heard him say, your prayer is heard. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. We thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that we know that we can trust in you. And like Daniel, Lord, we have turned our heart to understand that while we may not understand everything going on in this life, in all of my ways, I'm going to acknowledge you and know that you're going to direct my paths. So God, we set our hearts to understand you today. Even though your ways are higher than ours, God, I want to understand what is most important, and that is my relationship with you. And when I have set my face to understand, and when I have humbled myself before you, then I know that my prayers have been heard. And I thank you for that. God, I pray that you would help us to maintain a humble and a contrite spirit, and help us to keep that connection between the heavens and us. And we thank you for it today. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Guys, I hope y'all have a great day. It is Friday. Go make a difference. Go help somebody. Go love someone. Go be a blessing to someone today. What do you say? And so until tomorrow, we'll see y'all right back here tomorrow morning for day. I didn't put day 12 in the corner. I just now saw that. I forgot to change that, didn't I? Man, the producer. I'm going to have to fire the producer of the show for day 13 tomorrow. But until then, God bless you. I love you. Be humble. Be kind. We'll see y'all right back here tomorrow, 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning. God bless you.